Good evening, church. Welcome. It's great to be with you again as we continue our path to greatness journey together. So last week, we started exploring what greatness looked like in God's kingdom. And we lay a very important foundation. Greatness is not found in being served, but in serving. We'll talk about the difference between the being of volunteers and being a servant of God. We're not just volunteers checking boxes. We are God's servant, called and equipped to live for his glory. And tonight, we are building on that foundation by exploring how we use the spiritual gifts God has given us to walk this path to greatness. You know, we live in a world that loves talent. We see it everywhere. The star players, right? The musicians creating magic, and the successful CEO. We admire giftedness. We often equate like giftedness with greatness, power, importance. And let's be honest, like it's no different in the church. When we see someone teach and the Bible's comes lives, and when someone pray and things happen, and when someone leads worship, you know, we feel the connection to God. We admire that giftedness. We admire those people, and we think, wow, God is really using them, and they are on a path to greatness. But here's the catch. Having a gift doesn't mean you have got it all figured out. The Apostle Paul, writing to Corinthians, a church we'll be exploring our time, spending our time together tonight, 1 Corinthians says, you are not lacking any gifts. Can you imagine? If you know the Bible, you know it. The church is overflowing with gifts like prophecy, tongues, healing, wisdom, knowledge, administration, you name it. They are like the ultimate powerhouse. You think they must be on the fast track to greatness, right? But he's the kicker. This same church, overflowing with God's supernatural gifts, was simultaneously a mess. They were gifted, but they were far from great in God's kingdom. Seriously, if you read 1 Corinthians, you will notice this gifted church was struggled with like deep division, arguing about, you know, which leader was the best. I follow Paul. No, I follow Apollo. No, I follow Peter. No, I follow Christ. No, as if Christ was just another teacher. They have sin, including arrogance, boosting, even putting up with like obvious sexual immorality within the church. They have internal conflicts, like believers suing each other before the secular courts. They had like disorderly worship, like their gatherings were chaotic with people competing to speak and misuse the gifts like tongues, creating confusion instead of charity and even selfishness during the Lord's Supper. How is this possible? You know, how could this fantastic, phenomenal church with so many gifts, so many tools for greatness, yet believing in such a mess? What happened? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says, I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. Paul just called them infants in Christ, unable to handle solid spiritual food, still operating like worldly people. Infants with incredible gifts, it's like giving a toddler a power tool that really, really dangerous. Giftedness does not guarantee greatness, remember. You know, their problem was not their gifts. The problem is their hearts. Maybe you have seen it before, right? A gifted leader stirring drama in the church, talented servant making a mess in their small group gives without the right heart, good luck. You know, those gifts will totally miss the point. And the problem is they actually can hurt the very body they were meant to build. So how do we get it right? So let's dive into 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 12 through 14. We're going to explore. We're going to see what God wants us to understand about using his gifts on the path to greatness. First thing we have to notice is God equipped us for greatness through diverse gifts. Paul starts chapter 12 by emphasizing this beautiful diversity flowing from the perfect unity. Verse 4 to 6. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. You notice different gifts, different ministries or different ways of serving, different effects or workings. But notice one thing, same Spirit, same Lord, same God. The source is one. God is distributing the gifts as he wills, not creating hierarchies, not all competition for status, but for the common good. Remember, your gift is your starting point on the path to greatness, and remember, this gift from God is for his purpose. However, having a gift doesn't mean you're mature, but true greatness requires maturity, not just giftedness. The Corinthians had amazing gift, but deep inside, they were still like a kid at heart. 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak the tongues of man and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries, but have not love, I am nothing. Paul's point is very sharp. Talent without love is hollow. You could have like heavenly sounding tongues or faith that moves mountains, but without love, it's all noise, and that is worthless. Spiritual maturity isn't about raw talent. It's about a character shaped by love, and that is the heartbeat of true greatness. Jesus himself defined greatness through servanthood. We talked about last week, he washed the feet. He put others first. That is spiritual maturity, and love is what fuels that servant's heart. At the same time, love is also not just a warm feeling. It's the foundation. Without love, your teaching is noisy. Your serving is a performance. Without love, gifts become dangerous tools in the hands of immature people and can be as a tools for self-fulfillment. They can even use to wound, divide, to promote self, but love transforms a gift from a potential weapons into a tool of blessings. And Paul described love in 1 Corinthians 13 as patient, kind, not envious, not boastful, not arrogant, not rude, not self-seeking. In other words, love looks more like a submission. It's a choice to put others first, to serve, to align ourselves with God's will instead of insisting on our own way. And maturity is growing in this kind of love, and that love naturally flows into submission to God, to his word, and the needs of others. So on the path to greatness, love is what makes your gift truly matter. And in fact, the whole purpose of the gifts is to build up the church. That's important. 1 Corinthians 14, 12, crystal clear. Since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Edification, that is strengthening, encouraging, growing the body of Christ, that is the main goal. Think of a church like as a house under construction. Like your gift, like I said, is your tool, is a tool. Teaching lays the foundation, encouragement raises the walls, and prayer secures the roof. But if you are swinging the tools showing off, the house is unstable, chaotic, and maybe even collapse. That's where the problem is. But a servant's mindset on the path to greatness is, how can I use what God has given me to strengthen my brothers and sister, to build up this church body, and to make the church healthier and more effective for Christ's mission? And we are supposedly meant to follow this blueprint. What blueprint? God's plan, not your own plan. Look, that means one thing. That might mean sometimes we have to choose to use a less visible gift because it is what the body needs the most at that moment. Like what? Like washing dishes for the teens. Like cleaning up after the worship service or setting it up. Nobody wants to do wash dishes, but that's the way you do it. Edify, building up. That's what the need for the church at that moment. It may also mean that holding back a personal opinion if it does not serve the greater goal for building up. The key here is always building up, edification. Think about it. God equipped us for greater things through diverse gifts, and that is from one source, one body. And gifts are not equal to maturity or greatness. Love is the foundation, and God, the goal is to edify, to building up. However, here is where it gets really tough, and that is submission. Submission is where it all comes together. We really need to dig deep, because this is where the path to greatness gets practical and takes shapes. 1 Corinthians 14, Paul gives a practical guidelines for using gifts, and submission is a guardrail that keeps them all on track. Paul breaks it down in three big ways, and I really want us to linger here. Number one, very important, submission to process. Paul writes, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up, okay? If anyone speak in a tongue, let there be only two or at most three, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. But if there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silence in church and speak to himself and to God. So look, Paul. Paul is not trying to shut down the Spirit here. In fact, Paul is actually, we talk about, it's about the order that facilitates the Spirit to move freely and everyone gets blessed. Imagine a worship service where everyone's shouting, jumping around and coming to you and going to touch on the piano and stuff like that. It's more of a chaos than edification or worship. Submission to process means that trusting God's timing and over our impulse. It's saying, I will wait for my turn, or I will step back if it doesn't help everyone. It's not restrictive, but rather humbling and purposeful. Maybe you really want to share, especially in a small group, for example, but if it's not the right moment or the right way, according to the agreed process, you wait. Why? Because God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, which means when you submit to the process and timing, you help to create a space where everyone can hear from God clearly. That's important, and that's where his peace can shine through. Remember. The second part is submission to teamwork. 1 Corinthians 14, 29, 33. Paul is addressing prophecy, okay? Let's hear. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others wait what it says. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all be encouraged. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. This is radical teamwork. You are prophesying, okay? And God gives something to someone else. Then what do? You stop. You don't hang on to the spotlight. You yield. Why? Because it's not about your moment. It's about the body learning and being encouraged. Submission to teamwork means valuing everyone's part. Submission creates harmony, not rivalry. Remember, that's important. You know, this takes humility. It's so easy to think, you know, my words, my opinions, too important to pass. I have to say it. But Paul say no. Submit to the team. Wait and discern together. The result? Unity and growth, because God works through cooperation, not chaotic competition. Finally, submission to authority. Paul concludes in his instructions in 1 Corinthians 14 with a very, very strong statement. If anyone thinks that he is a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things that I am writing to you are a command of the Lord. If anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. So all things should be done decently and in order. What is Paul saying? Paul is actually saying here is, submit to me. As I am appointed by the Lord, so listen to me. Unless you listen to me, you're not recognized. It's amazing. Submission to authority, whether it's the scriptures, leaders, or the church system, is in fact submitting to God himself. You don't say something like, well, the Spirit told me such and such, and use that to override the scripture or the church systems or directions or the leaders God has appointed in that season. True submission aligns with God's established order. You have to follow the church. You have to follow the apostle, the pastor, or the leaders, because this is the church established order and design. This is not like blind obedience, but rather the trust in God's design and authority. Let's zoom out for a moment. Why Paul is so focused on submission? Why submission matters? Because it's the answer to the chaos to the Corinthians church. Think about it. Without submission, gifts becomes weapons. Tongues without submit order is confusion. Prophecy without teamwork, it's competition. Service without authority become potential rebellion or division. Submission channels our gifts into love, unity, and growth. Ephesians 5:21 says, submitted to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submission isn't about being weak, okay? It's about giving your strength over to God. This mutual submission to one another builds the church community. And Philippians chapter 2 really gives Jesus' example. Do nothing from selfish ambitions. In humility, count others more significant than yourself. Jesus, being born in the likeness of man, humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. If Jesus, the mighty one, submitted to the Father, how can we claim greatness but refusing to do the same? It's important. On the path to greatness, submission is the ultimate posture that keeps our gifts align with God's purpose. That's really important. One more time. On the path to greatness, submission is the posture that keeps our gifts aligned with God's purpose. Yes, it's countercultural. Definitely. The world say me first. Yes, even I say me first sometimes. But God says him first, others second. It's transformative. But when we submit our gifts, our preference, our egos to him and his ways, we grow into the servants he has caused to be. Let me get real with you, because it's not just about biblical teaching or theology. It's actually our real life. Submission sounds like the opposite of greatness, especially in our culture. I certainly felt that way for a long, long time. You know, I have never been a natural fan of boundaries or submitting to the system I didn't create. Growing up, rules feel like restriction. I don't like it. To be fair, my instinct was not necessary to break them, but to find the loophole, the workaround, the way to maintain my options and my control. I'm not so sure about you, I like flexibility. I like my way, which I often believe was the better way. That mindset really followed me into my professional life. Leading companies, leading teams, making decisions. I was actually good at calling the shots as well. Why follow someone else's system when mine seems to be better, smoother, smarter? Well, then I step into church leadership and also become a worship leader when Koinonia start. Let me tell you, I hit a wall called submission. I really do. I don't want to say it out loud, but that's how it works. We had an art director at that time. And he had rules and guidelines that really test my patience and challenged me quite a bit. I'm sorry, not quite a bit, it's a lot. Challenged me a lot. For instance, I remember the worship team has to wear green shirts. Not just any green shirts, mind you, but a specific shade of green. Combined with the mandatory earth tone pants that really makes us look like a forest ranger. I'm thinking, he's laughing, right? I'm thinking, are we leading worship or blending into the woods? You know, for me, irrational. I suggest simple, cohesive uniform, maybe navy blue, maybe black shirts, right? No, it has to be this specific green, okay? And only polos or dress shirts, and here's the kicker. No logos bigger than that tiny little polo player emblem. Very small. It cannot be bigger like this. Are you kidding me? So many restrictions, at least to me, is pointless. This is not going to help us to achieve greatness in worship. It's like my creativities and common sense were being like choked by these pre-rules. Choked. And then the music. We talk about music, okay? I would like to pick those, you know, dynamic worship songs with range, with passion that really moved the heart. But the feedback was disappointing. The key is too high for the congregations. That one is too low. My God, you know, there's only one note. Come on. I pushed back, you know. Great songs have range. Singing everything in a flat and monotone range is boring and uninspiring, you know. I keep arguing, debating. I find myself crashing, debating with the team for quite a bit. Be honest, I was not trying to be rebellious. I genuinely believe my way make more musical sense. My way would lead to a better worship, and my way is the path to excellence. But I'm telling you, the disagreements were really real. And I know deep down somehow, there was a part of me that wanted to fight, wanted to prove that I was right, wanted to win the argument, wanted to get my way, because I believe my way is better, smarter, effective. And I feel that I know, actually, my way can achieve a much greater things. But the interesting thing is, slowly, gently, God started working on my heart. And through prayers, through reading the scriptures, through the teaching from the pastors, God began to chip away my pride. No, he didn't necessarily tell me I was wrong. Instead, he asked me questions. Who is bigger here? Me or your ego? Whose greatest, whose greatness are you chasing after? That's really hit me hard. I still thought that I was right about some of the things, for sure, and maybe I was. But being right was not the point. Honoring God was, pursuing his kind of greatness was, and God was calling me in that situation to humble myself, to submit, to let him be bigger than my preference, my opinions, my need to be in control or proven right. He was showing me that the path to true greatness often involves laying down my own agenda. So I choose to change. It was not easy. And frankly, I did not suddenly start loving the groovy green shirts that I have or the restricted sound keys. No. But I changed my approach. I wear the shirts, I adjust the keys, I continue to follow the system, not because I suddenly agree with every details, but because I recognize I need to submit to God by submitting to the process, to the team, to the leadership he had allowed in that season. I still share my ideas and feedback, but I stop digging in my heels in when the decisions went the another way. Why? Because God is bigger. God is bigger. The path to greatness is not about my agenda. And I realize submission is not giving up. Submission is giving over to God. It's trusting God that he is big enough to work even through imperfect system or decisions I don't fully agree with. You know what I found? There's freedom, peace, unexpected growth that happens when I let go my ego and let God arise in me. It really changed me. It really put me into a different path. And I genuinely believe embracing this principle of submission can change you too and set you firmly on the path to greatness. And that is what I want for all of you tonight. So, church, the path to greatness is about becoming like Jesus, serving with love and submission. The Corinthians had amazing gifts, but missed out greatness completely. So let's learn from them. Our gifts, used with love and submitting willingly to God's order, become powerful tools for his kingdom. So what does this mean for us this week? It means that taking a step on this path. Maybe it's identifying your gifts. So as your leaders or pastor, maybe it's consciously choosing to serve with patience and kindness, even when it's hard. Maybe it's actually looking for one specific way to use a gift simply to build up someone else. Church, Let's walk this path to greatness together and becoming the servant God calls us to be, using what He has given us to build something that lasts and something truly great in His eyes. Let's stand and pray. Father, thank you for calling us to this path of to greatness. It is defined by your Son, Jesus, who served and submitted even to death. Thank you for equipping us with gifts to build your church. But please, Lord, forgive us for the time we have been like the Corinthians, gifts, gifted, but immature, chasing our own glory. So Lord, please feel your love, patient, kind, humble among us, and help us to submit to your process, team, authority, trusting that you are bigger than our plans. Lord, we are your church. Make us a united body, each gifted, strengthen your kingdom for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.